First, I'm going to apologize for not being my normal vivacious self. I just spent 36 hours struggling with food poisoning, so if I run out, forgive me. I don't think I will, but just in case. So we know that cardiovascular disease is a leading cause of death in the United States that results in over $150 billion worth of indirect and direct medical costs annually. And the physical activity, which is one of the primary risk factors for cardiovascular disease, is one of them, and a significant portion of our population is insufficiently physically active. In fact, in 2010, just over 50% of the U.S. population actually met the CDC recommendations for physical activity, health-related recommendations for physical activity. So there are a number of risk factors for cardiovascular disease. There are clinical risk factors and lifestyle risk factors, as noted on the slide. And I trust you all can read. You don't need me to read this. The one that we're focusing on here in terms of direct impact is physical activity in the study. There are also a number of documented benefits to physical activity. Reduction in cardiovascular risk, the bottom one, is what I believe to be the... in my research, the most important aspect of benefit from physical activity in terms of chronic disease, particularly cardiovascular risk reduction. We also have a pretty strong body of research that documents the benefits of walking in terms of reduction of cardiovascular risk, and a clear, pretty strong evidence that there is a inverse linear dose response relationship between physical activity and both cardiovascular disease mortality and risk factors. And so given that, going into a rural population of men and women that were underactive, our goal was to increase physical activity and decrease risk. So there, there's a strong research a set of evidence for the particular strategies we used in this intervention. We opted for a target goal of 10,000 steps a day in terms of activity, and it's been estimated that our regular activity is somewhere between 6,000 to 7,000 steps a day. If you add 3,000 to 4,000 steps, which meets the 30 minutes moderate intensity activity, that brings you to around 10,000 steps a day. So we thought it was an easy, understandable target for our for the individuals we work with. There also is a lot of evidence for use of pedometers for self-monitoring and step logs, and we actually used a minimal contact intervention, which there have been a number of studies that have documented the efficacy of those, and the use of efficacy-enhancing messages as to reinforce and increase likelihood of behavior change. So the purpose of the study was to evaluate the impact of a 12-week minimal contact walking intervention on insufficiently active rural adults over 35 to 64 years old. And we're looking at the impact on antecedent factors related to behavior change, to physical activity itself, and then to risk factors related to cardiovascular disease. And that's reflected in these research questions. Inclusion criteria for our group is they had to fall obviously within the age range of 35 to 64 years. They had to be insufficiently active based on CDC guidelines, and then they had to have two more of these cardiovascular risk factors in order to qualify to participate in the study. So we ended up with 29 volunteers, about over 80% were women, not surprising, and all were independent community dwellers in a small Western Oklahoma community. Research design was a single group pretest post-test design. The antecedent variables we looked at were self-efficacy and intent to walk, days of intention to walk in the next 2 weeks. We measured physical activity with the IPAC short form and calculated all of the respective activity variables that it produces. Measured body composition with the Tanita bioelectrical impedance device and measure waist-hip ratio, calculate a BMI. And then we also measured a number of clinical variables, including resting heart rate, resting systolic, diastolic blood pressure. We did fasting blood work on them, so we had fasting lipids and fasting glucose. And then we also calculated the Framingham age risk or heart age estimate and 10-year risk for coronary event estimate. The actual intervention itself involved distribution of AccuSplit Eagle 120 pedometer. We also gave them a physical activity brochure and reviewed physical activity guidelines, talked about the benefits of physical activity, went through monitoring and recording on their logs in terms of time and events that got in the way and so forth and so on. We established a target of 10,000 steps per day with a strong encouragement to include at least one 30-minute brisk walk in that 10,000 steps a day in the hope that they would at least meet the minimal target guidelines. And they were asked to submit their step logs weekly, and they received either email or phone messages weekly that basically gave them encouraging, we hope, efficacy-enhancing messages. As a single-group pretest post-test, we used dependent t-tests. I calculated Cohen's D for effect size so you can see how much benefit there was using SPSS 17. So our sample, if you look at that, you'll see very clearly that we had a mostly white, mostly well-educated, at least middle socioeconomic class group. That was in our tent when we started, but that's how it fell out. So, but that's probably not that atypical of this small town anyway. In looking at the actual variables of interest, we measure self-efficacy and intent days, and intent days was how many days do you intend to walk within the next 2 weeks. We see that there was no significant change from pretest to post-test. However, I would mention that at pretest, both of these variables were high. I mean, self-efficacy was measured on a 10-point scale and obviously 14 days, and so they already had relatively high levels of self-efficacy and behavioral intent at the beginning of the program. In terms of looking at physical activity data, all the physical activity variables yielded by the IPAC had significant increases from pretest to post-test and some fairly large effect size, well, particularly large effect size on walk days, where they increased from 3 to 5.5, which is important if you think back to the guidelines, which is at least 30 days of walking most days of the week, which we typically say 5 days. But there was improvement in all areas of activity throughout the walking program. In terms of the clinical variables, we didn't have significant changes in lipids or in systolic blood pressure, but we did have changes in resting heart rate, diastolic blood pressure, percent body fat, fasting glucose levels, and both heart age and 10-year risk. And in fact, as you note, the effect size for glucose is quite large. But all of these effect sizes were at least ranged from small to medium. So, conclusions. I think I'm going to make it. And let me please say this. Please do not make me laugh. Okay. In terms of the antecedent variables, again, we didn't see any changes in efficacy or intent to walk. But as I mentioned earlier, both were high at pretest. This suggests that their levels were either at a threshold that would motivate them to walk, or we didn't measure something antecedent that we should have. And in retrospect, one thing that we should have measured was social support, because anecdotally we got a lot of comment from subjects. There were a number of women who taught together at schools, and they walked together at lunch. We also had all the men who were in the study were husbands of, were husband and wife pairs. They walked together as couples. And then the small town has a recreation center, which I think is pretty, a public recreation center, and there were a lot of women who walked there together as well. So the failing, if there is one in measuring antecedents, would be we didn't capture social support. In terms of physical activity, we did see significant changes in physical activity across all the measures that we used of the IPAC, and with effect sizes ranging from small to large, but most of them were in the medium range. And that suggests that the intervention, even if we didn't measure the right antecedents, was effective in increasing physical activity. Now, why is that important? I'm one of those people who think that changing in behavior is only important because it produces significant outcomes. In the case of disease prevention, it produces significant clinical outcomes. So when we look at the clinical variables, what we see is that we didn't have as much, even though we had impact, we didn't have as much impact as I would like to have seen, probably because we didn't have a long enough intervention. Or we also know that with women, they tend to over-report in terms of self-report physical activity. So perhaps the dose, which would appear when you look at the numbers, to be adequate to produce a beneficial clinical effect. Perhaps it was the perhaps that was overestimated. I think in all likelihood it was overestimated at pretest and post-test if that was the case. So I don't question that we saw improvements in physical activity at all. It just makes it more difficult for us really to estimate dose and whether the dose of activity really was adequate to produce clinical outcomes. The most important finding, I think, though, in this study is the effect on fasting glucose. And these glucoses were normal glucose. The mean at pre- and post-test fall within the range of normal anyway. And so in 12 weeks to get that kind of significant drop in blood glucose, I think, provides a lot of encouragement in terms of the benefit of walking and diabetes control or reversal of pre-diabetic conditions. So in terms of program efficacy overall, I think that it was effective in increasing self-reported physical activity. The volume of physical activity was not perhaps as large as it needed to be to produce some of the clinical outcomes. And when I say the volume, could be both the duration of the program as well as the overall intensity of the activity they participated in. And so that would be the recommendation as I look forward, would be to consider increasing the length of the intervention as well as using a more direct measure of physical activity so we can have a better estimate of total dose in relationship to clinical outcomes. And I made it. Thank you. I do have references here if you want to see them.